You're listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to audiochat.fakeologist.com. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists around the globe. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to s3.fakeologist.com. Now, on with the audio chat.
I feel as though if... Okay, John Le Bon here on the 21st of June 2018. I feel as though if there was an online debate between myself and anybody else, whether they're heliocentrists or a flat earther or a convex earther or whatever, if it was a debate and we were each given equal time, I would absolutely destroy them, every single one of them, every single person. You put someone before me in a fair debate, and I will absolutely destroy them. Because to me, it's quite obvious what we're dealing with here. You just look at the evidence, you apply the logic, and you end up with a model. Now, I call it the Bod Earth model, kind of in jest, but it's not my model. Anyone who applies logic to the empirical evidence will arrive at the same conclusion. We are not spinning, but the heavens behave in a spherical fashion. Right? That's really the crux of the matter. The heavens behave in a spherical fashion. The flights behave in a spherical fashion. However, we're not spinning, and the lights in the sky, we have no evidence that they're solid physical objects. They're just lights. The Bon Earth model, I've got an 18,000-word treatise on it, but this is really what it all boils down to. What do we know? And from what we know, what can we conclude? What can we infer? That's all. And all these people pushing these other models, Simon Shack with his Tychos model, ooh, those lights in the sky, solid physical objects. What's your evidence for that? There isn't any. Game over. Forget about it. Flat Earth. Oh, the Earth is flat, is it?
Yeah, because we can't find any curvature.
How do you explain the two stars in the night sky? Can't. That's why they lie about it. How do you explain the flights? They can't. That's why they lie about it. You see? Pushing nonsense. These convex earthers, I can't write them off yet because I haven't seen their claims, but I'm pretty confident I know where that's going to go as well. So, we're not dealing with people that really care about the evidence or the logic. We're dealing with people who are pushing their own stories, their own agendas, or whatever. And that's why, if it ever comes down to a serious discussion between me and them, that's why I destroy them. That's why I destroyed Antonio. That's why I destroyed the heliocentrists. And that's why I will destroy whoever is next. Because I'm the only one focusing on the evidence, as far as I can tell. As far as I can tell.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com. Yes, it's the first Thursday, the 21st of June, 2018. It's Rollo. Rollo's back. And Rollo's
Rollicking Rollo with Velocity.
Rollicking Rollo. How you doing, Vel?
That was the old nickname. Good, thank you.
Yeah, it's good to be back. Yeah,
I hope John doesn't take offense. We're just doing a bit of comedy in room 11, doing some impersonations and playing back some clips I've made. So seem to like my John Le Bon, so we thought we'd do it on air. And if you're listening, John, don't take offense. We're just having a bit of fun. And of course, we very do much appreciate your presentation style.
Indeed, indeed. I've always liked John Le Bon, way back from back in the round table days back. But
I haven't listened to a lot of the Australian round table stuff. I've just listened to an episode here or there, but it was before my time. So it's going to take a concerted effort to actually go back and listen to them all and set aside the time to do that. Although I did get all the old archive episodes of the Fakeologist audio chats from AB. So I have had a chance to start going back and listening through to some of those. And there was one episode that I came across, a six-hour chat where you were doing your Rollicking Rollo DJ thing. And it was quite enjoyable.
Yeah.
Very enjoyable.
Yeah. And, cocaine.
Yeah, you were talking a lot about cocaine in that episode. Do you want to premiere your little song?
I'll go for it.
This is the Rollo cocaine song.
This isn't a drunk cast tonight, is it?
No. Sort a few fucking lines of coke. For fuck's sake. Cocaine.
I can't talk too loud because my wife hates me. I have to whisper.
Cocaine.
Oh man, I've done so much coke tonight. Too much coke.
Cocaine.
I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. You know how much I love you?
Cocaine.
I've had use with and lines and everything tonight, so.
Cocaine. I'm not talking sober. I've had a bottle of bloody whiskey tonight.
Cocaine. The only reason I like coke, because it keeps me. Next thing you know, you wake up naked, with God knows in somebody's house. Who the fuck house am I in? If I got kicked out and walked the street, you know, I'd find someone, and you know what they would do? They'd give me some cocaine.
Cocaine. I don't believe in the authorities. I don't believe in any authority. Don't forget this
back. Cocaine.
When a policeman pulls me over, I say, I don't believe in your authority.
Cocaine.
I'm so drug fucked tonight. Shit, balls, Batman. Amyl nitrate.
Open up your bum.
Hey,
is he circumcised?
Looks like a dick going towards an asshole to me.
Oh, you need a good spanking. I would be well glad that Ab went with any of this there.
You blockheaded bastard.
This isn't a drunk cast tonight, is it?
No.
Bottle of bloody whiskey.
No.
Useless.
No.
Amyl nitrate.
No.
Psychologist.com.
No.
Psychologist.com. Man, we've got to have a take two on that at some stage tonight, but thank you, Bill. I would say this. You have too much time on your hands.
Probably true. I'm glad you like it. I didn't know how you'd take it, but all in good humour.
Exactly. To be a fakeologist is you've got to be able to cope with a bit of, what do you call it, a little bit of, I don't know, people grabbing bits of audio. At least we've got the gumption to get on air and what do you, like, there's a guy called Miles Mathis. Come on, let's talk about that guy for a little bit.
I don't know much about him. Okay, yes.
Well, I don't know much about him either, apart from he writes essays, right? But he had a go at Ab for saying that he's semi, what do you call it? What's the word? I've lost the word. Anonymous? You know what I mean?
So Miles, you know, Mathis puts himself out there.
Yes.
Is that
and writes in essays that, how dare Ab not be out there, whereas Miles Mathis is.
How dare anyone?
Have we ever heard his voice? Have we ever heard Miles Mathis' voice?
At least some people put their voice on the air and, you know, can come out and talk about things. There's plenty of people who just listen to this. Like, I know from the Fakeologist podcast, it receives a lot more listeners than people that are involved in the community on Discord.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I don't see all those people here talking.
Yeah. That's right. So it's a little bit hypocritical, would you say? Just a tiny bit.
Just
anyway,
hopefully inject a bit of humour into psychologists at the moment, because it's been so quiet lately, hasn't it?
It has. I've just come back from Vanuatu. Our friend Gaia.
Yeah, how was your trip?
Oh, awesome to see the volcano.
I saw your photo.
Yep. So I'll put all that up on YouTube and that. I had a great time. I went to, where did I go to? I went to, so Vanuatu is like a whole bunch of islands. So we went to Mana and then we went to, what's it called? There's another island that we, anyway, there's so many islands over there. I can't remember the names of them, but it we just chilled out. Except the worst thing, I wrecked my right hand on one of those swing rope things. I still got a bloody cough from there. You know those swing rope things where you swing on a rope into and then let go and go into the water?
Oh, just one like hanging from a tree or something.
Yes.
How many times did you do that?
I did it about two or three times on one of them, but it was the one that was up the big high tree that I ripped my bloody right hand, and I can barely hold a beer.
Did you have to get medical attention while you were there?
No. Well, I drank some kava. Do you know what kava is?
I have no idea.
Kava is just this pain-killing medicine that the locals drink.
Okay. I know you hear those stories about, you know, injuries while you're on holidays and having to deal with insurance and that, so it's, you know.
I didn't. Like
you never know what you're going to end up having to pay.
Yeah, I didn't get insurance.
Something more significant happened.
Yeah. Anyway, but it was fun. I spoke to, who did I speak to over there? When I was over there, I spoke to DJ, and I spoke to also Tom Dalper. So that was cool. Oh, we've been joined by our American friend, Original Stimulant. Do you want to say good day, Original?
Good day, mates.
G'day, mate.
I'll let you guys have a chat, and I'll be back in a sec. I've got to get over this cough. I'll just take a drink of water.
He's going to go have a cigarette to help his lungs, I reckon. He said water, but I doubt it.
Yeah, I think the word whiskey means water of life, so maybe that's what.
Does it? Well, he would be glad to know that, because I think it's his drink of choice.
I believe it does. It's funny. So you guys smoke, you guys record from, like, I just do this shit from my phone, you know? So,
if you're like, I'm usually, if I'm sort of just participating, like if Dell's doing a pub lock-in or something like that, usually I just wander around the house because, you know, I like to be mobile. So I'm usually on my phone when I'm just contributing in chat. But when I've actually got grabs to play and I'm sort of doing a bit of production, that's when I'll work from my desktop because I've got the good microphone here and I've got my mixer and everything so I can pre-record and play back bits and pieces and do all that.
Yeah, you got to have your toolbox.
Yeah, exactly. The computer, I don't really actually have anything logged in. I'm very, sort of since my whole waking up thing, I've been very, aware of my identity and my data and what I have logged in where. So really, I only keep my my laptop logged in to all my cloud services and things like that, like whether it's Google Chrome or any programs that you log into, your iCloud, stuff like that. I keep all that on my own personal devices, but all my editing gear and anything that's sort of tied into businessy type stuff, I try to keep my identity off it. So it can be quite difficult when you're, say you like make a piece of audio and then you need to give it to someone in your personal life. There's no real way to get it from A to B. Like you've got to actually sort of transfer it onto the network and then pull it down onto a second computer and that. But I don't know. I guess my paranoia has just got the best of me, and I don't like the idea of having lots of computers signed in as me when, you know.
When I got into that stuff too, like that was a very real issue for me. You know, like it sounds like it was for you too. But eventually that stuff kind of fades, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that's like I went through a peak, a really intense paranoia where I'm like, it wasn't that I thought I was being listened to or anything, but it was that theoretically I could be. Like it's that it was possible, and I knew for the people who run the place, it is possible, and that's what sort of freaked me out about it.
It's not unreasonable. You know what I mean? That's the thing too. Is it like it's not wrong to feel that way because it is like I'm not going to say you specifically were listened to, but it's all being recorded. I mean, as you well know. And so, or it's all being stored, maybe is the better way to say it.
Well, if I can elaborate on that, from my techie background, I think a lot of people misconstrue what it means to be recorded. When we say the internet is being recorded or when you talk on Discord, you're being recorded, people don't really get what that means. They think like someone's, like they can imagine in their head, like someone sitting in a little CIA office somewhere with a set of headphones on actually listening or like the audio feed is actually sent off somewhere to be recorded. And that's not the reality.
Here comes Ab.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
He's so rude. He's so rude how he cuts in like that. But yeah.
Yeah. At least I didn't start playing one of my things and then get interrupted halfway through like that other time. So what I'm saying, original, is that what's actually happening when we say things are being recorded is that, you know how every computer on the internet is just an endpoint, right? Even servers in data centers, they're an endpoint the same as a computer. People think, oh, there's servers and computers. No, there's just computers. We call some of them servers if they push out data. We call computers because they receive data or vice versa. Mm-hmm. But when we say things are actually being recorded, what it comes down to is the fact that everything your computer transmits, your phone, iPad, all your devices, they're all communicating on this giant global web, and they communicate using packetized data, right? So everything's split up into tiny little packets that shoot all over the internet. Now, the thing is, all those packets need to be routed. So you have your local exchange that goes up to a higher level Australia-wide exchange, and that links to all the overseas, you know, undersea fiber optic cable or whatever. So everything, all these packets are flying around. Now, all the routers that route that traffic around, it's possible at a router without any overhead. You don't have to double the traffic to do this. It literally can do it completely efficiently. You can just split every packet. So every packet a router sees, it sends one copy on its way to the destination where it was intended, but you can just split all the packets and make duplicates of them store them on a data center. So if you have a giant data center with heaps of, you know, redundant cloud storage, you're just saving all the packets of transmission that happen over the internet. So the idea that, oh, we're being recorded or somehow our audio is being recorded is not really correct. It's actually that the whole map of everything that ever happened ever on the internet is actually being recorded, I believe, somewhere. And it's weird because I've been watching Westworld, and the season 2 is coming to a finale, and they're starting to talk about all this esoteric shit like, oh, every bit of analog data in the world has now been recorded except the human brain. That's the one thing we need to actually figure out now, and that's what we're trying to capture.
And they want to record that.
I'm starting to buy into the idea that if we really don't know our history in that, the whole theme in Westworld is that the simulant host characters, they have set storylines. And the idea that's now been put forward in season 2 is that they are a static control because our human differences need to be recorded. So you need, you know, in an experiment, you need to have a control. And control dependent variable, right? So wouldn't it make sense that all this narrative of politics and dinosaurs and this whole story, all this fake stuff that we're starting, like you and I who are waking up are starting to see, maybe that's the big control variable to see how we react in the situation. And maybe we are more literally in the kind of realm that's just been created to actually capture and record how our brains work, I think.
Yeah,
of course it is.
Because the way they're all recording the internet, you got to wonder.
Well, it's impossible not to record it because like you said, it makes copies, right? And it all works off time. Time is like the most important thing. It sounds redundant, but we'll go back to redundancy in a second. But it all works off time because you have to know when that packet was split, like you just said, right? When it was split, and split is better, a copy is a better word than split. But the copy, there's an original copy. You know what I mean? There's the original and then there's the original copy. And so the original copy would say you have like the original one, which is like you know, then you have 01, the copy, right? And it's made at a certain timestamp, right? And that timestamp is what lets those packets be decoded because the packets aren't received in necessarily like linear order. You know what I mean?
Can I cut in for a sec? Come on, let me cut in. Is it really, we write about what's recorded or what we think about, like in our own minds?
It's not worry, I think, as much as it's understanding. But it comes from a place at the beginning of worry, I think, because it's this idea of privacy, these notions that are that have probably been gone a lot longer than we've been willing to accept.
Privacy, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, so privacy is in privacy of thoughts, privacy of
everything, emotion. It's privacy. Yeah. Your identity is very closely linked with your ideas of privacy. You know, and identity.
Yeah, but we act our true selves. It's like Heisenberg's principle, you know, the very act of knowing you're being observed changes the results of the experiment. So it would make sense that we have been put into this realm not knowing that we're being observed when really we're being observed all the while. You know?
Right. And then
Belisette, what are you saying? At the very moment that you know you're being recorded now, you wouldn't be saying what you would normally be saying, or...
But no, I'm being recorded whether I'm on Discord or not, is my point. It doesn't matter. Every transaction, everything I do is being recorded. Not in the sense that there's, as I was saying to Original Stimulant earlier while you were away, not in the sense that there's a CIA agent listening to an audio feed. We're talking about literally every transmission on the internet at every point in time is already being recorded. So a whole map of time, a three-dimensional map, sorry, a four-dimensional map, basically, is already being recorded in data centers. And what I'll do, I've got a grab here of Westworld, so I can play that, one of the best bits out of Westworld this season, and then I'll come back, and going back to Original Simulant's point about packetized data, I've got something cool to add about that in regards to audio.
See the world in a grain of sand, heaven in a wild flower. Hold infinity in the palm of your hand, and eternity in an hour. Robert, how are you alive?
Well, you've seen the company's little undertaking, Bernard.
Do you think James Delos would have spent all that money just to resurrect himself? He was a businessman. He would have preferred death to a bad investment.
Not much of a round, are you? What can you do?
He's not a prospect, Clementine. Can't you tell when a man's just here to gawk at the merchandise?
I don't think God rested on the seventh day, Bernard. I think he reveled in his creation. Knowing that someday it would all be destroyed.
That control unit I printed, it was you. You had me bring you here before.
Before Dolores Kearney, yes. Don't you understand at last, Bernard, what this place really is? Come with me, there's something I'd like to show you.
I haven't watched this new Westworld. Was that Anthony Hopkins?
Made you that way. Have you never wondered why the host's stories have barely changed in 30 years?
I'd always assumed the loops were for the hosts, to keep them centered. But that isn't it at all, is it?
Wait for it.
The park is an experiment, a testing chamber. The guests are the variables, and the hosts are the controls. The guests come to the park. They don't know they're being watched. They get to see their true selves. Their every choice reveals another part of their cognition, their drives, so that Delos can understand them. So that Delos can copy them.
Every piece of information in the world has been copied, backed up, except the human mind, the last analog device in a digital world.
We weren't here to code the hosts. We were here to decode the guests.
The humans are playing at resurrection. They want to live forever. They don't want you to become them. They want to become you. Your free will, that most beautiful, most elusive force in the universe, is, as I told you, a mistake.
We never had free will. Only the illusion of it.
You made Dolores kill you.
I knew what you would do. I didn't compel it. She's free now. They're all free.
You're still responsible. Responsible for all this misery. And all the while, you've been hiding here. You've cheated death.
No. I didn't cheat anything, Bernard. Their project doesn't work. Not yet.
So, yes, that is Anthony Hopkins.
Yep, it is. Yep.
So, what's happening there is Anthony Hopkins' character's already been killed, and he's already sort of absconded into the digital world. He's had his whole cognition cloned, and that's sort of the where we're sort of going towards this idea of artificial intelligence. And I don't think artificial intelligence is actually possible on its own. I think it does require digitization of the human brain, or at least wiring humans into the computers to achieve that the human side of it, if that makes mm-hmm. sense.
I think it's
yeah, and, but where's the fakeologist angle here? Like, is that
the controls, as he's talking about, if you look at it like in a, it's easy to use like a metaphysic, in my opinion, for some people it's hard, but if you look at, he used the word devils, right, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
If you look at it in like that kind of way, controller or whatever, the control is like the devil or whatever, it's easy to, it has no like autonomy of its own. It can only kind of do what it's programmed to do. So the fakeology angle is to set the controls against the variables and to keep programming the controls to be it's to like recognize what the knowns are, as Donald Rumsfeld would say, to recognize what the knowns are and recognize what the unknown knowns are, or the known unknowns are.
So and that speech like, ties so well into this as well.
Yeah, so you can keep, yeah, it totally does. So you can keep pushing the simulation envelope, because what Westworld is really demonstrating is like in a physical realm is what I don't think even needs to be done anymore. I think it can just be done with simulations, you know, through Facebook and things like that, social media, is you can just simulate the event. You can fake the event just like they're faking the people, you know. The control is just a crisis actor, for example, you know, and the variable are how like my wife responds to it, you know, what she's going
to
have.
So if I can try to rephrase that for Rollo, what we're basically saying here, I don't know why you're asking for the fakeologist angle specifically, because we came on here just to have a fun chat. But what we're basically saying is if we can start to identify that all this stuff around us, all these events are fake and we're being controlled with a narrative, then we've got to ask ourselves, why are we being fed a fake narrative? And it's because that narrative needs to be known ahead of time. The narrative needs to be subtracted from the result to prove what the human condition was, right? So I don't believe all this AI is really possible. I don't think you can ever make the leap from computer logic to having artificial intelligence. I don't think the leap is possible. However, you can use the controls to actually, yeah, record and simulate the human mind, and that's what they're trying to capture. They're trying to use all this big data, all our big giant tech companies that are recording our every action. The purpose of that is to actually map our cognition to create artificial intelligence.
And control behavior, and thus control behavior, and thus predict the future, basically. Everyone wants to predict the future. That's like since the end of time, or since the beginning of time, people have wanted to have magical powers and predict the future. You know, and if you can control the narrative, you can kind of predict the future. You know, you can get it down to A or B. You know,
so the whole transhumanist thing, Rollo, seems quite, you know, at the forefront. Like I always sort of dismiss that idea, but I'm starting to come around to it. That maybe that's what the bigger picture here. A lot of people would freak out if they were told, listen, you're in a giant dome and you're all here to be recorded. Like that would, as I said, Heisenberg's principle, it would ruin the whole experiment. So the whole thing is we have to be fed a fake narrative and be in this structure unknowingly to actually record our cognition correctly. And all these fake events and that are to give us the ups and downs of life. The same as Westworld. You have to have all these adventures thrown at you to actually see how you respond in real world circumstances. If it was just a real middle of the road life, you would never really experience that person's character. But by throwing curveballs at them and giving them amazing highs and amazing lows, that's how you actually capture their cognition and how they respond in the extremes of circumstances.
What did the military say? What does the military say? The U.S. Army, at least, it says they're in the business of capturing hearts, or of winning hearts and minds. You know, and that's, you know, that's it's right there, right? hearts and minds. That's what the whole control structure is. Diana DeProma has a poem that says, there is no war except the war on imagination. And all other wars are subsumed by it. You know what I mean? These people have no
Do you think they captured mind? Did they capture mind?
No, they can't do that. But they want to control the mind by dumbing it down. It's kind of like we're the artificial intelligence. You know what I mean?
Is it possible that maybe they're dumbing us down, or they need to keep us ignorant just in order to get to the point of artificial intelligence? Like maybe like we'd kick up too much of a stink if we knew about it. So you've got to kind of dumb us down and keep us unaware until the actual revelation is achieved. Then once we're in that world, once we can progress, like the whole world is currently being an analog world turning to a digital world. All our material is turning digital. Everything, and digital is the nature of everlasting, right? Analog things wear out by nature. But digital is a pure, whatever sample rate it's recorded at, it will stay at that pure rate forever, right? So digital is perpetual.
Right, this very conversation we're having right now.
Sure will be captured forever, but yeah. Like, for example, the voice, you know, we know that sound, it goes forever, right? In the beginning, God created the world with a voice, you know, with a word, not with a hammer and nail. It's like the sound, the word. Our words go the carried on the sound wave forever. They may break apart as it goes further down the wave, but it can be reconstructed, right? Maybe digitally or maybe some other way. But of course, we get back to the source. But as far as digital, I don't know. I mean, I think you can destroy that the time, the mainframe, and eventually, like the backups will all fade too.
No, I get that you can destroy the data center. But what I'm saying is, like an analog tape. Think about in the media realm, an analog tape or a vinyl record or a piece of paper. All those things deteriorate. But if you take a photograph and you store it digitally, or you have a scan of a document and you store it digitally, or you have a song and you store it digitally, as long as you have your whole data center backed up, that data will never degrade in quality. It will always remain a snapshot of that particular
so long as it can be interpreted. Yeah, I mean, well, that's not even true. It always will, but the issue is whether or not we can interpret it. You know what I mean? I think people, when they built the pyramids, I think they thought this shit is so fucking obvious. There's no way people 2,000 years from now are not going to know exactly why we built this. You know what I mean? Here's our moment in time captured forever, so our future ancestors are going to fucking see exactly what we're all about, and we don't know what the fuck it's for. You know what I mean? Like, the language is gone. It's like the Tower of Babel thing.
I'm skeptical about that. I'm sure there are people out there who know exactly what it's for, and that information has just been hidden. I don't think you're suddenly just losing all the information about how that got there.
That could be, but it could also be. But there's also, you know, just as much chance that it could be that they thought everyone would know. You know what I mean? So who knows? But just for example, you know, you could say that, or you could draw a fucking picture or something like that. Yeah. You know, in the same way a child draws a picture and sees exactly. They see in the picture exactly what they wanted to draw, right? But even though...
Oh, Rorschach.
In some ways. But even though they know, the guy who did the Rorschach doesn't know what the splatter means. He just made it. The child knows what the picture is, you know? But he also made it. The parents...
I guess,
but they don't know what it is.
Look, I guess we're here at fakeologist.com. Here I am with Original Stimulant from America, and here I am with Velocet, who's down there in South Australia. Not South Australia, you're in Victoria, right?
Sydney, south of you.
No, Sydney. Fuck. Get it right, cunt. Get it right, cunt. And here I am in Newcastle. And here we are, basically here to talk about 9/11.
We were having a perfectly good discussion. Yes, there's still something I wanted to add
Go for it.
Part of the reason that I started to get the ideas about how the data was working is because in radio original, we have, you know how back in the day you'd have an analog radio console, which mixed all audio signals in the analog domain. Then as time progressed, we moved on to digital audio. So you had pulse code manipulation in what's called time domain multiplex. So basically the data is split into packets, but it's still in a digital realm as far as PCM is concerned. The latest breakthrough with what they're doing with radio technology is doing audio over IP. So within a facility, you don't even have separate audio cables anymore for each signal. The way they do it is every device is just a network device. So your computer that's going to play audio, it doesn't need a sound card anymore. You install a virtual sound card. So it presents itself to your software like a sound card. Your audio plays onto it, but then it splits all those streams into packets. So your whole network now is your audio distribution. You don't need wires and cables and sound cards anymore. It's just all over the network. So every device is just a network device with one, you know, LAN network cable in it. And all your audio, and that can carry thousands of audio streams. And it all works on multicast data and subscription groups. So anyone who wants a mix of any certain things just subscribes to that group of packets. And that's what you were saying about the time code being important. Because say I know the different multicast addresses of the different signals I want to subscribe to, I just subscribe to that group and I receive all the different packets of all those different signals. And then when it receives them on my end, it uses the time code to reassemble them and mix them together.
Right.
So it's with that understanding that I'm going, well, this is the way the whole internet works. So it's not, it's pretty much, I can see how they're just literally just subscribing to groups of data. And by accumulating that data, you can create a whole map of everything that's going on.
You know, there's a guy named Todd Glassy, G-L-A-S-S-E-Y. He's a really good friend of mine. He invented the timestamping technology when he was working. He worked for it was at SRI, but I think it was when he was working at Sun Microsystems. He invented the timestamping technology for mobile technology. You know, basically, his tech is in everything mobile, every digital communication device or electronic communication device, which receive or send electronic communications mobile or receive mobile. He invented this stuff. He has three patents on it, right? And he's been locked in these lawsuits with the U.S. government forever. But, he should be a trillionaire, right? But I don't even know if he can. I mean, he just moved to Russia, interestingly enough. But we can get into that some other time. But, you know, look at that guy.
Imagine...
He's a fascinating guy, and he's a fascinating person. And, it's just his – you know, it's all about, just like you said already, it's all about time. He's like the time lord, like Dr. fucking Who, you know.
I don't think there'd be any device now that wouldn't use that, is there? Like, that the time code is a fundamental thing in the nature of all the devices, there wouldn't be a device out there that would actually allow a packet to come through without time code.
It would be impossible, right?
Yeah.
So you can know what's possible by knowing what's impossible. And, this is also how you know that everyone's kind of in on it, quote unquote, together. Because they all use the same fundamental time stamping. Every fucking country in the world, uses the same fundamental time stamping structure to send and receive electronic communication. They all use the same one singular patent that he made.
Yeah.
So, if North Korea were really such an enemy and all this crazy shit, right? Well, why would they use our fucking time? Well, not our, quote unquote, but you know what I mean.
Why would they conform to the global standard?
Right. And this is a huge part about like the Middle East and stuff. You know, the Muslims have. They have 13 months on their calendar sometimes, New World Order is not going through that shit, It's all got to be standard, uniform, regimented, inflexible.
And that's what I mean. You can buy into an Apple or Google dialectic, but at the foundation, the internet technology, the internet of things is all common language and designed to basically sample the analog world.
And how does, this is funny because it always takes me back. How do they all communicate? How do subscriptions and packets and how to trust networks online communicate, right? It's called a handshake, right?
Yep.
So it takes me back to Freemasonry. I think it's funny.
Yeah. Well, I try to pay attention to words because I think there's always seems to be this double meaning to all the words, like you were saying with Donald Rumsfeld and the unknown unknowns and all that. Like, it's everywhere in plain sight. If you just pay attention to the words you're using, the same way people always use the example of government being govern and mentis for the mind and all that kind of stuff. Like most words, when it comes to something important about our realm, there is actually really a double meaning there or some little hidden gem that you just need to pay attention to.
I'm not sure if, I mean, this is kind of talking on my ass, but I don't know if there's any words that only have one single meaning, Honestly,
probably true. But I mean, for most normies and the way I've thought about things in the past, you think words just mean one thing. Obviously, there's words that have sound the same and mean two things. But, the fact that there is this actually occulted meaning to all the words we use in everyday life, that's something that I've sort of become aware of since waking up. It's not something you know. Like if you go to people and say, listen, government actually means to govern the mind or control your mind, people would think that's ridiculous. They go, no, it's just there's lots of ments, lots of things end in ment. Like they can't comprehend.
They all mean mind, right? And they all mean mind, stupid. That's right. They're all like people. Yeah, like Jesus would say, you testify against yourself. Yeah. There's lots of words that end in ment. Yeah, I know there are. They all mean mind. Well, okay. So So keep telling me your the evidence of why I'm right, buddy. But it's about belief, it's about belief in being in a cult.
Are you up to date on Westworld? Were you familiar with that clip I played, or are you
not across that? I've never seen it. I watched the movie when I was a kid. I used to love the movie. It was on HBO all the time.
The movie was a bit limited. I mean, they've put a lot, like now they've made a proper TV show out of it. There's a lot more esoteric stuff in it. I mean, the second season departs completely from the movie, so you're actually taking the storyline a lot further now. So, yeah, I enjoy that show quite a bit.
I think it's, I've heard a lot of good things about it, but I just don't spend much time watching stuff, even though stuff probably now is better than it's ever been, as far as like creative content on television.
Cool.
Stuff.
The technologies enable people to do that. Like, look now, back in the day, if you watched a news report, it would be very rare to see an overhead shot because they'd have to go and hire a helicopter. But now, like, the price of technology comes down. Every cameraman out there can own his own drone, and you'll see every news report has amazing overhead shots and things like that because the technology's cheap and available. And look now, with green screen and, the amazing lifelike rendering you can do, it's never been cheaper to actually produce these really like schmick looking high budget shows quite cheaply.
John LeBond's ISS fucking video is not that bad looking at all. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not.
And that's kind of funny because if they're trying to be satirical there, but
right.
It's almost laughable because it looks so real. And then they had to have that gaffe where Gino's hand went off screen, and they said, "Oh no, it's just a conspiracy theory." I thought that was great because it was a bit too close to looking too real, and they're just bobbing up and down on their knees.
Yeah, I think people were like, I think he said people sent him stuff like, "I didn't know you were, when did you go to space?" You know, I don't know. It's
seriously, guys, that was the funniest thing. Him and Gino in the ISS, funny.
Oh, it was brilliant, man.
Yeah,
when he put that bra on.
Brilliant.
He put that bra on, and he said his gender was fluid in space. Oh my god.
The fluid in space. Yeah, it was gold. Yeah.
I think when Chewbacca takes a dump, the poop gets stuck in his hair, you know? I think Han Solo's got like a pick. Maybe that's why he's got long arms.
That's the thing. How much just slips by you don't even think about? You're stuck in your little fictional world and you don't really think about all the stuff that would have to go on behind the scenes if that were real.
Aliens taking a dump. How does, you know, I'm sure you could get some fucking egghead, you know, at one of these Ivy League schools to really explain to you how an alien would take a dump or something. This is it.
Oh, there's probably people out there these days in university that have written a thesis on it.
I'm sure. You know, I shouldn't say I'm sure, but it would not be surprising. And shit like queer theory in space, you know, queer alien theory, stuff like that. I'm sure it's everywhere. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's like people now are at the point where they're carving out their own careers and inventing their own jobs. So, like, I think the first sort of really big public example was the person who did a thesis on Klingon or something. There was some sort of thing like that. Klingon was now being taught in universities, and you could, you know, and you think, far out, like, really?
I wonder if there'd be any.
But then again, is it that crazy to spend your time studying a fiction like that? When really the reality is most university students unwittingly go along to study fiction anyway. Like you go
right.
to do a lot of stuff to do with space or dinosaurs, anything like that. You're going to be studying fiction. There's a show here on the airing on our government channel at the moment, and it's about gifted children and about like how they need to be sort of encouraged early when they're really talented.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one kid on there, and I feel sorry for him because. You can tell he's sort of really precocious and intelligent. Like, he knows a lot of big words, and they've got him on there meeting the Prime Minister, and he's telling the Prime Minister about how he's going to build these amazing rockets that'll fly us to Mars. And this poor kid's being propped up like he's 8 years old, and his parents obviously buy into the whole normie notion. And this kid's being encouraged like he's a genius because he's figured out how to build a new rocket and fly to the Mars and all this stuff. And I'm just going, oh, my God, like... If there ever is a revelation in his lifetime, this kid's going to be fucked because he's, you know, been totally encouraged and encouraged and encouraged, and then it's all a giant sham. Like, what a lie to tell an innocent child.
You know, my son said one time, he said, how is space dark when that's where the sun and all the stars are?
Mm.
So, and he was a lot younger than 8. He's like 3.
I still think it's a head fuck when we're like, even today, like, as far as shape of the Earth, I'm completely agnostic. I don't give a fuck. I know it's all lies, and I'm not siding with anyone. I just don't see the point. Like, I don't think anyone really knows. But it's still funny when you talk to people and you try to just ask, like you look up at the sky, it's blue. Where in your head do you comprehend that that's black out there? Like, how does that even jive in your head that that makes sense, you know? Like, and the same, like, I remember even in school, like, flat earth, literally, the way all the flat earth renaissance people describe it was, yeah, you got told in school that it was round and you never questioned it again. I'm like, that really was the case though, wasn't it? Like, I even remember at a young age, that was just the given. It's round, but it doesn't seem so. It just doesn't seem so. And you're sort of like, yeah, it doesn't seem so. And you just accept it. And it's like, wait a minute. Like, how the fuck do we know? And I still struggle with that. Like, I've been into this for years now, and it's still fucking, it's those fundamental things like the shape of the earth that still fuck me up when I go, how can that, so many people be walking around the earth looking at the sky and their environment and still it doesn't click?
Well, you know, you also don't, I think it at its best, it's not really to figure out what the shape of the earth is. It's all like epistemological questions to figure out, like, how do you know what you know? You know what I mean? I think that's like more important than knowing what the shape of the earth is how do you know anything? And once you sort that out for yourself, you can kind of figure out like what's what, you know, but once you can really challenge your presuppositions, but that shit can literally drive people insane, you know? So, I think it might be natural. I said dumbing down earlier and I kind of wish I wouldn't have, because I don't know that it's not necessarily the normal state of things to be the way we are, to accept things.
Yeah, and that's what I was saying, by it may just be a necessary evil. If we are aimed for some sort of digital analog merger between human and computer, then maybe it is a requirement that people kind of need to be dumbed down and docile to accept it. You know, like it is in the overarching good, and that's the overarching narrative. That's what's planned. But people would freak out if they sort of knew about what experiment they're in. So maybe they do need to be kept stupid until we reach that point. You know?
I don't know if they freak out. You know, I don't. People, I'm shocked by how much doesn't. I used to be shocked by how much doesn't shock people. You know, so it's like a lot of people who went to war, for example, kind of figured out pretty quick that war is a bunch of bullshit. You know, like this whole like good guy bad guy shit is a bunch of bullshit. But plenty of them didn't. You know, plenty of them are still like, thank God we did that. Thank God that happened. You know, so I don't know. I mean, it's the why is like the one you'll never figure out, because you never know if somebody's lying. You know what I mean? Even if they tell you why they did it, you never know.
You're lying. Hey, original. You're lying.
What? A lie?
You're a liar.
Dude, I'm less than people.
How about we play This Is Planet Earth?
That was a very good half hour of discussion. I enjoyed that quite a bit. But, Rollo was so keen to break in and discuss 9/11 again for the thousand.
Oh, I love 9/11. You know why I love 9/11? Because it's such a big lie.
I never heard of it. What's that? What happened on 9/11?
Yeah, well, apparently, planes crashed in buildings, and
that's almost where I'm at with it. Though, is to just act like I don't even know.
Well, apparently, because of because of structural failure, it's coming down.
I like Dave J's thing. When people talk about the moon and stuff, I'll just go, yeah, I've been to the moon too. He said that a while back, so I just pull that line from now. I just say, oh, I've been to the moon. If they're going to lie about it, I will too.
Dave J needs to take a few more acid trips. But
you caught up with him while you're in Vanuatu. How's he doing? I haven't heard him in quite a while.
I know, I did.
We had a good chat a while back.
I did catch up with him. What are you talking about? Day J's he's a slimy character sometimes, where he just goes, what's he going to call you? What's the word? Let me think of it.
We'd rather let you figure it out in your drunken state.
It's called. You are a spiritual murderer.
Yes, you got it. Good.
You're on the piss, Rollo. Rollo.
Yes.
Rollo.
Yeah.
This is my John LeBron.
Come on, let's play Planet Earth by Duran Duran. Come on, Velzet. Play.
I've had some good talks with Dave J, to be honest with you, too. Like, on
what's he got to say?
Just, you know, just shooting the shit about, like, conspiracy stuff and bullshit, you know, bullshit in general. Like, on Pride Talks, you know, it's been...
Yeah. I had a one-hour chat with him on audio chat, just him and me, where I actually wanted to hear some of his military stories and talk about the war hoax and things like that. He's a very reasonable person. I think just sometimes in the bigger chats when he's agitated, it can become I can understand it becoming frustrating.
What about when he says that Tony Abbott and Tony Blair are the same person? I mean, come
on. He's having you on because he's making, I think he's making an esoteric point about duality. But anyway, right. While you're on the piss, and I'm going to have a cigarette, we'll hear your song again. I think that would be the better thing to play.
This isn't a drunk cast tonight, is it?
No. Sort of few fucking lines of coke. For fuck's sake. Cocaine.
I can't talk too loud because my wife hates me. I have to whisper.
Cocaine. Oh man, I've done so much coke tonight. Too much coke. Cocaine. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. You know how much I love you? Cocaine. I've had use with and lines and everything tonight, so. Cocaine. I'm not talking sober. I've had a bottle of bloody whiskey tonight. Cocaine. The only reason I like coke is it keeps me. Next thing you know, you wake up naked with God knows in somebody's house. Who the fuck house am I in? If I got kicked out and walked the street, you know, I'd find someone. And you know what they would do? They'd give me some cocaine. Cocaine. I don't believe in the authority. I don't believe in any authority. Don't forget this fact. Cocaine. When a policeman pulls me over, I say, I don't believe in your authority. Cocaine. I'm so drug fucked tonight. Shit, balls, there, man. Amyl nitrate.
Open up your bum. Hey,
is he circumcised? Looks like a dick going towards an arsehole to me.
Oh, you need a good spanking. I would be well glad that Ab went with any of this there.
You blockheaded bastard.
This isn't a drunk cast tonight, is it?
No.
Bottle of bloody whiskey.
No.
Use with.
No.
21st of June, 2018. Okay.
Bottle of whiskey, few spliffs.
That's good stuff, Val said. Hey, thank you, man. That's a really good. Oh, my dog is. Just wants to get out. Hold on. I'll let you guys keep going. But honestly, I think we should just continue with 9/11.
And the moon is light in the sky, is my question.
No, not the moon is light in the sky. Well, we can go on.
I'll be back in a sec.
Good on you, man.
I'll take this opportunity to tell you about myself. I was born in 1978. It was a summer evening. Parents had been married for a few years, and I was first child, you know, so I remember it well. I sprang fully formed from my father's head like Athena. It was an epic event. There was some Magi later who came. I believe there was Kung Fu Theater was on the USA Network. It was a kind of a magical time, 1978. I think who was president? Gerald Ford, Jimmy Carter, president maybe? I don't know. I don't remember that well, that part. Yes, Jimmy Carter. America was going through some transitions, and then I was born into this. Since then, I've ascended the ladder of capital success. No, not sure where to go from here.
Okay, I'll move to mobile.
Oh, good. I was at a stalling point in my story.
What was your story?
Oh, just the story of my life, my early childhood, being born in a manger and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. How you grew your hair long.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I should have brought that up. One
question I have, here's something I don't know. Once Jesus was resurrected, what happened to him?
I never actually even followed through on the story. It's like, yeah, we know Jesus was put on a cross, and then he went in the cave, and they rolled a stone over the cave, and he came back 3 days later, and it's like, then what happened? Like, how did he die the second time? What happened? I'm like, that whole story, does the general public just have an amnesia about that? Is that something,
they've never read the book.
I've never read the book, but it's just occurred to me that that's never even really taught. You're never even told what actually went on.
The story is after 40 days, after being resurrected. So he's crucified on the third day, he's resurrected, and 40 days later he ascends to heaven in physical form, kind of like Enoch. That's the story, you know. So that's it in a nutshell. So it's an interesting. You talk about esoteric and stuff, but it's like what you don't hear from the church or whatever is that there's a man in heaven. You know, God's in heaven or whatever, and there's a man there too. Pretty interesting.
So, do you think that's symbolic of there being a physical life after this realm?
Is any life not physical? I don't know. You know, I think life itself is physical. I think.
Well, it could be. It could all be completely not physical as well, and all just imagination. You don't really know.
Yeah, I guess, but I think you do, kind of do. You know, like.
So what do you guys make? What are your guys' take on this new guy that's come on the scene called Jorgen Peterson? Jorgen Peterson?
I'm not familiar with him.
Jordan Peterson? The Dr. Jordan Peterson, is that him?
Yeah, Dr. Jordan.
Yeah, he's all right. He's okay, I think. He's got some interesting takes.
What do you reckon Jordan Peterson would say about 9/11? Like. Would he be the same as, like...
Blowback. I'm sure he's probably talked about it. Probably that it was blowback. He probably has, like, a Noam Chomsky kind of...
Yeah, Noam Chomsky! Yeah, exactly. Noam Chomsky says, who cares?
Yeah. I don't think that's an unreasonable position, to be honest.
Yeah, but I'd love to have an interview with Jordan Peterson and to say, what's going on with 9/11? Yeah. Just to really hear his point of view.
But the whole it doesn't matter thing, that to me is buying into the zero hedge idea that it was all Bush to make money. It neglects the whole fact that these people run the whole show. They can just print more money if they need more money. They don't need to
knock
down buildings. That's all symbology and mind control. There's no financial element to that at all. They did it for insurance money on the buildings.
But I think it's a reasonable position given where people are. To come to that conclusion is what I mean. You know what I mean? I think,
and there's no reason these kind of characters don't play roles in other people's awakening process either. Like, you've got to wake up to Bush doing it before you can, have the idea that maybe the whole thing was just a TV production.
You probably should, I think. I think there's kind of like, from Freemasonry, I'll tell you, there seems to be and in life in general, and in like the, you said shaman earlier, but in the shamanic process, there's kind of a gradual
staircase.
Yeah, and it's, you know, you see now with the ubiquitous information, how many people have just been into this stuff for like a year, but have already been able to jump to like the everything's fake kind of conclusion. But they also get caught up in some other kind of traps that maybe you would have overcome in this more gradual process. If that makes sense. So they're still kind of hung up on some crazy shit. But they also look at things fake, and it's kind of giving them a schizophrenia a bit, you know?
And but then again, all these mental diagnosis and medical diagnosis, that's just a construct of the world we live in and the reality we live in. Like, sure, like, if I went and actually got diagnosed, I'd probably be put on the spectrum for Asperger's, and they'd probably try to say I was schizophrenic, right? If I started talking my beliefs to a doctor that believed in the system. But I know that I'm never going to go to a doctor because I'm not going to get, I don't want to be labeled with that according to their rules. I know I'm not that. I know better and I'm smarter than
them. I don't mean literally. I didn't mean clinically that they were schizophrenic.
I get what you mean. I'm just making a point because I thought about it earlier when we mentioned about half an hour ago there was some mention of something to do with medical and I was going to say it then, but I so many different points passed me by in the conversation.
I've had that. Thought those thoughts too before, you know, about like talking to professionals and stuff and how they would view it and stuff. Like when you don't share your beliefs with a doctor, you know, like you don't tell them your opinions on vaccines, you just kind of find a way to work around it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So like, but I've also found that you can talk to professional people about that kind of stuff two. It's just a matter of finding the right ones, you know?
Yeah.
So some state-sponsored goon, I guess everything is technically state-sponsored, but, you know, some state-sponsored goon is going to, you know, who knows what you're going to fucking walk out of there with, you know, what kind of diagnosis you're going to walk out of there with, but something, you know? I remember when we, well, maybe I won't share that story, actually, but it's like, I have a friend what's the fucking word? He's a child psychologist. And he's a good friend, and his wife's actually an emergency psychiatric nurse. And he, in his practice, in order for the insurance to pay for it, to pay for a patient to come and see him, or client, I think he would say, that he has to give him a diagnosis. You know what I mean? There can't be the diagnosis for you to go, for me to go see him and say I had some PTSD or something. He would have to give me a diagnosis of whatever it was, you know?
So yeah.
It has to be recorded, and we're talking about the recording of information earlier and the widespread distribution of it. Is like, well, that's kind of a scary thought, you know what I mean? Or it's kind of an unsettling thought.
Because yeah, no, it's the same here. There's you know, Australia has the Medicare system, and if you can get free appointments with, you know, or like, you know, Medicare payment, Medicare will pay for you to have appointments with a psychologist or whatever, but you, of course, have to go see a general practitioner first and be diagnosed with something for them to put, for them to process the paperwork and the money comes through.
Right.
And you're right. That is recorded in the doctor's own little computer, which to most people means, oh, it's just in his computer and maybe a few of his practices have that computer information. But no, of course, we know that all the packets are already recorded through the routing and duplication of duplication of those packets. So yeah, it's already recorded in the cloud. It's funny we call it in the cloud. It's an interesting concept.
Yeah,
so we're going through this process and there's going to be a revelation and we're talking about putting our digital data in the cloud and the world is being digitized.
It's when Snowden, you know, came out or whatever, it was, I just couldn't help but the way that they kept calling it the revelations of Edward Snowden, more revelations, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
I
kind of cue onto these words, like you were saying earlier about words, and I think that that does have something to do with it, you know? I think that in the West, we're kind of in the, you know, we're in Christendom still, basically. So when you see these words that have, you know, like what you would call, like, you know, Christian meaning or whatever like that, then it's not unwise to try and apply that to it too, I think, and look at it, kind of hold it in your hands, and you don't have to accept it, but it, you know, why do they keep using the word revelations? Why do they, you know, what is revelations? What does this mean? Why do they all say it? What's the idea?
What do you guys? All right, just as a fakeologist angle, do you guys believe in viruses? Because Ab just put a recent thing up where what's his name? The guy. The Canadian guy says that it's called, what's it called? The Infectious Myth. Do you guys ever listen to that podcast?
In physiological viruses, you mean? Like illnesses? Yeah. Like the flu virus or something like that? Is that what you're asking?
His name's I forgot. He's a wonderful guy who interviewed a lot of people like Tommy Morrison and Christine Maggiore. Do you guys believe in
well, I don't believe in like a viral load and I can catch HIV or something like that.
Yeah.
That's for sure. I mean, no. I know occasionally I do experience the common cold and flu, maybe once a year, but I'm certainly not going to go and jab myself with some foreign substance in fear of that happening. And I think, a lot of this is psychosomatic and really, you've got to wonder, you can tell the negativity and that fear porn is being pushed on us by the controllers of the realm, because why would you ever assume that life was out to get you? Why would you ever assume that you were born into a realm where there's all this bad stuff out to happen to you?
Good,
you know, it's all in the mind. There's nothing, you know, in real life to be afraid of like that. And I think since I've woken up to this the last few years, I wouldn't go seek treatment for anything. If you don't feel well, you rest and you recover. You know, you drink plenty of fluids, you eat healthy, and you feel better a few days later. You know, there's no reason, I think, to go see a doctor and find an excuse to start giving you drugs.
Brilliant. Well,
there's some, I mean, I think obviously we know there's some things you do. I think viruses are, you know, stuff like, I think they're man-made in some sense. Like, they're not alive. They occupy their own, like, phylum or whatever of, like, on life. They're fucking weird. But I think they're probably man-made, but there probably is something else to, like, the idea. There probably is something to the idea of, like, you know, for some reason you get, you know, you have the chance of becoming, you know, getting the similar symptoms of the person who you're in contact with who has the symptoms of something which we call contagious, you know? So I don't know. But, like, my brother-in-law had this fucking esophageal shit where he was, like, doubled over. He's a big dude, you know, healthy guy, but he's doubled over, can't breathe, can't eat, and you know, 10-degree pain for 2 days. He's in the, finally goes to the emergency room, and they stuck some scope down his throat, and for some reason all the fucking mucus and shit in his throat and his stomach, the mucus is gone because his stomach's producing so much acid that it's, like, hardening up his esophageal tract. There's no recovering from that shit on his own. You know, like, it was just going to get worse until it did more and more and more damage, and who knows what the outcome would be. But he goes there and...
I guess what I would say is if you're experiencing physical pain, then you could reach out for help. But, I mean, I'm skeptical when, like, I've got an uncle who's a little overweight and he's on all these different blood pressure medications. And I'm like, wait a minute, like, that wasn't something where you experienced physical pain and you decided you needed help. Like, if my arm gets snapped off in a car accident, sure, I'm going to go to the fucking hospital. But I'm not going to go and see a doctor and then he's going to, you know, listen to a few things, you know, look at some reports on my body and go, oh, you need this medication. It's like, wait, I'm not feeling unwell. And your body is self-regulating. So maybe some of us are supposed to have higher blood pressure. The idea that we're all supposed to conform to this norm and we should all be medicated to be at the norm. Bizarre.
Amen. Hey, Velocet, I'm with you 100%. And there's a guy called David Crowe that Ab interviewed. He's a Canadian guy who's big into it's called the infectious myth. How positive are you? The whole AIDS thing. It's complete fiction. I know it is. But Ab, you can go back and listen to Ab interview David Crowe. Yeah, and David Crowe has got a wonderful website. What's it called? The Infectious Myth. And look, these guys that invented the whole idea of a virus. I think virus is an absolute fraud.
So when you experience a cough or cold or something like that, what do you think that is?
I've treated my body badly. That's what I've done. I've treated my body badly.
You've worn down something that was self-regulating into a state of imbalance.
There are plenty of examples of people who haven't done that, who also experience other things too. You know, especially in children and stuff. But you know, it's interesting. Children aren't. You know, we all like the myth of television, or television perpetuated the myth that like children are sick all the time and all this shit. Really, they're not sick all the time. They're very healthy. You know what I mean? But like we over treat every symptom. You know, every sneeze or whatever is like an issue. No, if you have a fever for
you get a fever, and then they have to turn the fever down by giving you what paracetamol or Panadine or whatever it is. But the body having a fever is actually trying to treat itself.
It's not a bad thing to have a fever.
The allopathic medicine system has really just gone crazy, and this whole idea of, you know, sticking kids with all these, how many goddamn what are they called,
vaccinations?
Inoculations, vaccines. Yeah, it's just disgusting.
60 in the United States.
Oh,
by the time I think,
how unnatural is that? Might as well be a heroin addict. Like, I mean, I inoculate myself with something that makes me feel good.
I go to the drugstore every day. I go on my way to work and I get a flu shot, and then on my way home I stop by and I get another one.
So always better safe than sorry.
Every day of the week, so I get 14 flu shots a week.
Oh, Christ!
What is it? An ounce of prevention is better than a pound of cure.
Ooh.
No, I'm just not. Yeah.
I think Ab said it best. Ab said when it comes to vaccines, at best useless, at worst harmful. You know what I mean?
There you go.
Yeah. I don't know if that was Ab or was David Crow from the
Infinity. Ab has a lot of nice little idioms he likes to use. Yeah. So,
yeah. It was wonderful.
He's got there's a guy who did a Lenny Horowitz or something like that. The dentist, the Harvard dentist who did a series about vaccinations and about HIV and stuff, and it was very, very revealing at the time. It was probably 10 years old, but it was, you know, it was a very revealing documentary at that time, just about the fraud that all that stuff is, and, you know, where does it even come from? Why do these viruses always spring up at military sites? Why did the Spanish flu originate in Fort Detrick or something in the United States? Why does Lyme's disease originate right by Plum Island in New York and the National?
It's a money. Go.
They're named after their point of impact where they're first launched from, you know, like Legionnaire, whatever disease it is or whatever condition.
Yeah.
It's always given the name of where it was first seen, and that seems to be tied to some sort of. They're always tied to suspicious places.
Yeah, it's a fear thing that's always been done. And for sure. And again, you create the fear and then you go and get someone sticks. I've never liked needles. Needles are bloody horrible things. Yeah, why would you go and
you're injuring yourself. It's not natural to stick a piece of metal in your arm.
Yeah.
You ever seen this?
I got my eyebrow pierced, so I guess that was unnatural, wasn't it?
Well, a lot of people are unnatural, but some are worse than others. But like,
did you get it done as I've got my left earlobe is got a.
Did you do that when you came out of the closet, Milo, or was that like?
Yeah, which is the gay ear again?
I think it's the left one. I think it's the right one. you guys are just so disgusting. How dare you question my sexuality?
I have both my ears pierced, so I don't know if that means, maybe that means even out.
Yeah. I have my butthole pierced, and so as my scrotum.
And so as your
knob. Yeah, I'm sorry, when it comes to like piercing the end of your knob, I couldn't take that risk. It's too close to too many nerves and stuff. That's a scary thing to be doing
for some professional in a tattoo.
What do they call that? Where they put it through the penile,
Prince Albert.
Yeah, Prince Albert. Yeah, that's
named after the Roy.
I've never had a Prince Albert.
Prince William is like your butthole pierced, connected to your.
Nice.
I don't know about it. But the needle, you ever had like your blood drawn or something, or got by somebody?
Yeah, I have. Yeah.
Not, I won't say they don't know what they're doing or whatever, but they kind of manhandle you a little bit. And man, like you'll be, you know, last time this happened, I was like 28 or something, but healthy young man. And my God, my whole arm was like black and blue. Yep.
Here comes Ab.
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by
$1.19, that's a ripoff donation.
Thank you for your support.
$1.19, that's a ripoff. go again. Prince Albert.
I'll tell you, but like when I was, again, probably actually when I was about 30 or 31, man, I was drinking beer all the time, you know, and I bet I put on 30 or 40 pounds of just fucking fat, you know, and went to the doctor and they did my cholesterol and she wanted to put me on this, she did put me on this, it's like cholesterol medication at 30 years old, maybe 31. And it was, she said, now, you know, if you start taking this, you're going to have to take it for the rest of your life. I'm like, what the fuck, really? She's like, your cholesterol, it was like, she had some chart, you know, and I was like at the far end, like, you know, just out in space with this shit. Well, I stopped drinking so fucking much and changed my lifestyle a bit and lost that weight, right? And I go back later and I don't have any of the cholesterol problem at all. And I don't need to be on the medicine at all, you know? So I didn't take that shit at all. It did the medicine and drop my cholesterol. Stop not being such a fucking fat ass is what. So how much of that shit is like that? Like your, you know, blood pressure and all that stuff. If you lose weight, you come off all that.
Yeah.
Naturally.
Take it off. Take it off. That's the same with me. I way back in 2010, when I had a massive lump on my testicle of all things. Would you believe it?
Are you sure that
was your testicle? And they wanted to cut it off, and I went, no, I'll go and have a look on the internet, and bingo. The internet says, don't get things cut off, because if the body can create a lump, it can make it disappear as well. You know,
well,
what I mean?
Rollo, you can't just read medical advice off the internet. That's where all
maybe not. Well,
all
I did.
The anti-vaxxers are. You can't trust anti-vaxxers.
Well,
they label people anti-vaxxer. It's like, no, I'm not the insane one. You're the vaxxer. That's the problem. Well, if anyone's calling someone an anti-vaxxer because they're not sticking things in their body.
I know. It's insane, isn't it?
For diseases you don't even have.
I know, it's incredible, and it could well turn out that they're not real anyway. What are they called? The things, vaccines. Well, let's look at AIDS, for example, just simply. Like, if AIDS was really a virus, okay, that you get by having gay sex or whatever. Like seriously, wouldn't they have created a vaccine for AIDS unless the whole AIDS story was so ridiculous? The whole AIDS story is so retarded now that, my God, the AIDS industry is so massive. They can't stop it. They can't stop it. It's so big. It's like a big car crash. They can't stop.
Only gays and IV drug users. They used to say that you killed by there AIDS. Was no tears.
But now we know every one of us could be devastated by it. The fact is, over 50,000 men, women, and children now carry the AIDS virus. That in 3 years, nearly 2,000 of us will be dead. That if not stopped, it could kill more Australians than World War II.
Oh.
But AIDS can be stopped, and you can help stop it. If you have sex, have just one safe partner, or always use condoms. Always.
That was from an ad in 1987 called The Grim Reaper. And if anyone wants to go look that up, it's on YouTube, and that's an ad that was played in Australia. It's a minute long, and the Grim Reaper's in a bowling alley. So all the humans are the pins. They set up the human pins, and the Grim Reaper, who's representing HIV and AIDS there, is busy bowling down the humans with a bowling ball, and babies go flying, and pregnant mothers go flying. It's pretty horrific stuff, you know, to push on people.
Fakeologist.com, yes. And that is the biggest, fakest thing ever. I think.
Yeah. They had to ratchet those numbers up, too, didn't they? Because they were like,
no, ratchet.
Shit. This wasn't really working. We need.
It's funny that they mentioned World War II, though, as well.
I know, and they didn't talk about stopping war, did they?
It's funny.
Oh, dear.
And this thing, I mean, World War II, I mean, let's stick back to AIDS just for a sec. All right. AIDS is like, when did it first, in my, because we've got to remember how old we are. How old are you, original?
I'm 40.
You're 40. I'm 48, and we're here with Velocet. Velocet's quite young. He's 28, right? Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, you don't remember, when AIDS was, like, brought in, it was this disgusting thing where, I think her name was Margaret Heckler, who brought this, like, we think we have found this probable cause. It was called GRID back in 1981. It was called GRID, G-R-I-D, gay-related immune deficiency. You guys don't remember any of this.
I remember that, when it was called GRID. I remember when it was...
Yeah, GRID. And then they changed it to AIDS. It was this awful thing. And basically, I spoke to, when I was with Ab, and we were speaking to David Kelly, I think his name is, from the infectiousmyth.com. Yeah, he's just a lovely guy. And it's basically, they give you this drug that is the most, do you guys understand what, what's it called? Chemotherapy. Chemotherapy is like the worst chemotherapy is, you take this stuff, it's going to kill you. It's not like cocaine. Cocaine, you take cocaine, it makes you feel good. This chemotherapy stuff maybe fit, makes you feel a little better, but...
It doesn't make anybody feel better.
It kills you. It kills you. It's disgusting.
So why do you think they started off as being gay-related? Like, it seems now that there's a clear sort of gay agenda going on. So why do you think they were trying to steer the gay population away from promiscuous sex? Or do you think maybe they were just double-bluffing and it would, you know... I don't know if that's plausible.
I think it's a pretty scary campaign. I don't think that they have as much control over shit as we might think they do. I think that they release stuff into the wild. The information is kind of released into the wild, and then people kind of take it and run. So somebody comes up with some fucking name for it,
yeah,
or whatever, and then it kind of catches.
They adapt on the fly as it evolves.
You'd have to, right? Otherwise, it would be because it's just natural that. I think that has to be understood that it's just not.
There's this thing in America called the Centers for Disease Control
in Atlanta, Georgia.
CDC, right? CDC, yeah.
The Surgeon General, yeah. Who's a military. The Surgeon General is a military. So you know.
Yeah. So it's this CDC. So you got this. They're controlling disease. There's a guy called Anthony Fauci that ran. The CDC, Anthony Fauci, yeah, and there's a guy called Robert Gallo that invented AIDS. The guy invented the AIDS thing.
Yeah, I saw him speak one time.
Yeah. Bloody awful.
It's all kinds of cool people speak, actually.
He has to have people following him around because he's so hated. He's so hated, and so he should be because he's the guy basically. Invented something to kill homosexuals. What's wrong with homosexuals?
You mean, are you telling me it didn't come from monkeys?
No.
We didn't eat some monkey meat or have sex with a monkey?
What? No.
I thought we were 97% close to chimpanzees, and that's how we got it, because we evolved from them.
I think Velocet's points are valid.
That makes sense. Things can just hop. Things can just hop from one species to another because we're so close, you know?
Why would that? That makes sense. You know,
my brother's a redhead. I've got to say, a lot of similarity between a chimpanzee.
All influenza comes from birds. It's all avian related. However that.
Hey, well, look. There's a guy. Let me just say this. Oh, forget the dinosaurs for a second. We're talking about AIDS. But there's a guy called Ron Jeremy, and I love the guy to bits. He plays the piano beautifully. He's a beautiful Jew, Ron Jeremy. He's had sex with, 10,000 women. He never got AIDS.
He didn't eat the monkey meat.
He never ate the monkey meat, and he played beautiful piano. Yeah,
like a dick going towards an arsehole to me.
And he never...
Great call.
Never got bit by the monkey.
You know, never got bit by the monkey?
I think that's what Lynn Horowitz said.
Open up to your bum.
He says he's like the fucking people have been eating monkeys and getting bitten by monkeys for a long fucking time.
That's it.
And you know, shit doesn't come out of nowhere. But I don't fucking know. Yeah, I don't know. That's one of these deals. You know, you never sort it out, but eventually it goes away. You know, just like it has now. Magic Johnson's been
Magic Johnson's
30 years. It used to be 12 years. Remember that?
That's retarded.
You're fucked. But I think a lot of those people had hepatitis too. You know, comorbid diseases with it. So supposedly, so maybe that's what they had. They have a cure for hepatitis now, apparently, for one of the strands. So I don't fucking know. I think they'd have
cures. It's always about having a cure. Original stimulus.
It's always about liquor. Yeah. Science is all about collectivism, and it's all about pushing for tomorrow. Everything is just over the horizon, and then we're all going to be cured of all diseases.
Ooh, we're going to live forever.
But for some reason, the previous narrative, like, if you don't act like a fucking asshole your whole life, you'll get to live forever in heaven or something. That idea, they shit all over that one.
Yeah.
You know, the computer, you know, live like an asshole, the computer will let you live forever being an asshole. That's like a perfectly reasonable narrative for some reason. The not being an asshole going to heaven is a better, you know, objectively better, you know, fucking story. Socially, you know. Maybe, what do I know?
Well, you know a lot more than most, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on fakeologist.com, and here we are with Velocity Original Simulant. Brilliant. I'm going to head off.
Yeah, it's been very nice chatting to you, gentlemen. We've been here for like 2 hours or something.
Yeah.
Jesus, have we really?
Well, at least two of the bumpers have played, so maybe an hour and a bit.
All right, guys.
Can I request a song, Bell Set, for the end? Planet
Earth? What song would you like?
Da, 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 da. Oh, you can play your own song.
Or you can play that part.
Who's Planet Earth by?
Duran Duran.
Simon Le Bon, John Le Bon's brother.
Yeah, you got it, baby.
Are you rubbing that big gonad?
I'm rubbing that big gonad.
Gonad.
There we go. See you guys.
From fakeologist.com, on the 21st of June 2018, you've been listening to Original Simulant, Rollo, and Velocet, and to take you out, Duran Duran's Planet Earth.
Rick from Port Macquarie. You're listening to Fakeologist Radio on fakeologist.com.